Growing up, I didn't go to church on Sunday mornings, but on Friday nights, both my mom and I would sit down and watch movies, and she would show them from a Christian perspective.
Growing up, we were out in the woods, so I didn't watch many movies, but I learned to look around me and find a spiritual lesson in everything I saw.
So now, I want you guys to experience the goodness of God in the movies we watch.
Join us as we unpack meaning from the movies we watch.
I'm movie apologist Clark.
And I'm Bethany.
And this is Movie Night Apologetics. Well, what is up, movie lovers? Welcome back to the podcast that loves to show you the goodness of God in the movies we watch. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the best movie of the year that just came out on Valentine's Day, Captain America, Boring New World.
Oh, I think you meant Brave New World.
Oh, did I mean Brave New World? Yeah, I must have meant Brave New World, not Boring New World. That would be silly.
It's funny to me how much sarcasm you use on the podcast, but how little in real life.
Like, I'm going to be honest with you. If you had to give me a choice between this movie and watching 2001 Space Odyssey, I think I'm going to pick 2001 Space Odyssey.
I think that's a solid choice over this one.
Because this one just quite honestly sucked. But we'll get into the movie reviews in a little bit. But yeah, this was recommended to us because, hey, we wanted to go to watch a movie on Valentine's Day, and we thought, oh man, Captain America, this is gonna be awesome. Like, the Green Hulk and the Red Hulk are gonna like battle it out in the end, and there's gonna be some awesome action sequence. But
we'll get into it.
You will have all our reviews. But before we get into it, I just have to just make a complaint. There's gonna, like I said at the end of E.T. on the last episode.
Is this becoming part of your template, as you have to start with a complaint?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There absolutely has to be a complaint. Because for people that don't know me, when I go to the theater, I like to show up early. Now,
really early.
While an hour or 30 minutes is probably a little bit too early, at least I'm not one of those stupid people that comes into the theater like 15 minutes after the movie is rolling, and they're trying to find their seats in the midst of a crowd. Now,
oh,
listen,
no, how it's awful. It's, you know what's worse than that?
Whoa.
Oh, no, how awful.
Wow, you are.
Am I way too loud?
Yeah. Jeez. Okay.
Oh, dear, how awful. You know what's worse than that?
What?
Showing up half an hour before a movie starts and sitting there staring at a black screen while three other people come into the theater.
Hey, you know what?
What?
The people that come in after the movie starts rolling and are trying to find their seats are very distracting, and it's stupid. Like, listen, It was an opening day the movie came out. Get your butts there early, sit down, and enjoy the movie. But don't come in there like 15, 20 minutes and be like, oh, where's our seats? And the people
Did that happen?
Yes.
I guess that did happen.
Yes. Yeah. And there were people in our theater that they're like, I don't like the assigned seating that I picked out because when I got the tickets, like, you know, I had to get crappy seats. So what do? They went and sat somewhere in someone else's seat that didn't get there.
Right.
And so when some people came in, I saw some people get up, move, and go to their assigned seating in the front where they should have been while the people were trying to find their seats. So you know what, people? If you have an assigned seat, go sit in that assigned seat. It's not that complicated. So wow. That way the stupid people that get there 15, 20 minutes or late, they can at least find their seat and not stand there for 5 minutes trying to figure out where to sit. That's all I'm saying. It drives me nuts when there's an open movie night and I'm so proud of you. What?
You can say assigned seat and make it sound angry without sounding stupid. Get in your assigned seat. Like, I can't assigned seat. That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, get in your assigned seat and just stay there. But don't play this like, oh, well, if the seat has been bought, people will be there. Now, the people that should be there on time. That's all I'm saying. Like, just, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now,
thank you for your complaint.
That is my complaint. Thank you.
We will file that away under complaints.
Yes. So, people who do that, just please be respectful. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, our podcast listeners, nothing but disrespectful hooligans who need this advice.
Yes, exactly. So, do you want to get into the lovely description of this movie?
Okay, let me describe it as somebody who has seen most of the Marvel movies, but is not very engaged with the lore. From my perspective, so Captain America is now this dude named Sam, and he convinces his old buddy Isaiah, who apparently was also Captain America at some point, and, well, he convinces him to go to a meeting at the White House, but then Isaiah shoots.
No, Isaiah wasn't a Captain America at some point. He was a Winter Soldier.
Oh, my bad.
Totally different.
Big difference. But then he like goes crazy and shoots at the president and he has to go to prison. And so Sam's trying to clear his buddy's name. But in doing so, he uncovers a mind control plot, which is being masterminded by a scientist who wants to ruin the president's reputation.
Which is already kind of ruined, so I don't know what his aim there was, but okay.
Revenge! And then there's about a dozen subplots in there that are all just kind of scattered. And that was the movie.
Quite honestly, it sucked. So we're going to get into the ratings of the movie. And if you've been on the show before, you know our ratings are water, which is bad. Like, no one wants to go to the movie theater and drink a water, right? Like, you just don't do that. Soda, it's like good. Like, got that carbonated soda. And then you got slushy. And usually at the Moscow movie theater, the slushy machine, at least the blue raspberry, is out half the time. And guess what? When we went there, it wasn't available for me.
It was a sign.
So it was a sign already that the movie was going to suck, and because I was like, I'm not going to get my blue slushy. And it didn't, and the movie sucked. So there's a correlation because Wicked, I had my blue slushy, and that was a good movie. So there is a correlation between getting the slushy and not getting the slushy.
Wow.
That makes the movie.
That's my favorite new conspiracy theory.
I don't know when our next movie is. I think it's Lilo and Stitch that we're going to go see. And we'll see if that stupid live action's any good. But, so we got water, soda, and slushy. Bad, good, amazing.
Are you waiting to hear my rating?
Oh, I am so ready to hear your rating. I bet you're going to rate this slushy just from the sound of it.
Okay.
That was sarcasm.
Okay, it was water.
Wow.
Yeah, so this movie, it was really a collection of cliches. Like, so partway through the movie, you could clearly hear somebody in the audience snoring. And I thought it was really funny. And I was like elbowing you, like, somebody fell asleep. And then I fell asleep. I didn't even see the ending.
Did you look up at least what happened at the end of the movie? Like, just to, you know, for the podcast's sake?
Oh, yeah, I read up on this.
Okay.
I thought you were asking if I looked up while I was sleeping.
No.
I mean, like, I did struggle awake a couple times, and I saw flashes of, like, action scenes and something blowing up.
And you're not missing much.
And then there was the end credits and then the after scene.
Yeah, I'm going to complain about that, too.
How would you rate this film?
I would, honestly, I'd rate this below water. I'd rate this like freaking oil. I would rate this salt water. How about that? No one drinks salt water.
I thought when we left the theater, we were like, it was an okay movie. It just wasn't good.
I'll never watch this movie again.
Let's it sounds like time has made you hate it more.
I would rather watch Captain Marvel. I would Like, I haven't even seen The Marvels, but I would probably watch that over this movie. Like, this movie just sucked.
That's funny because it's been a month since we watched it, and that's not what we said on the drive home.
Well, you know what? My opinion has changed. It sucks. It like, me just thinking thoughts in my head over the month since... So, for those of you that don't know, we haven't recorded for almost a month because I've gotten sick and I got in this like little raspy voice and I sounded like E.T. at one point.
Yeah, you did.
So we've had to cancel recordings a few times. So, but just thinking about this movie and having all the emotions fester, like Marvel used to be good. Marvel used to be like, you go and see and you watch a good superhero movie. And now it's just like, 50-50 if it's going to be good or not.
I've heard a lot of people say we're just pickier than we used to be.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's BS.
Yeah. So what they say is if we had seen this movie back like during the first Iron Man era, we would have been like, oh, that was a good movie. But I don't think that's valid because it really is just a collection of cliches. Mm-hmm. And everybody I've talked to that's seen it is... They sound so world weary, like, yeah, there's just nothing new out there. Like, the action holds up fine.
The action is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the action, but the villains sucked. I mean, the villain was so...
Sugar Pie, you need to use more than just sucked, okay? That's not really telling us anything.
Okay, my notes say the villain was uninteresting.
There you go.
Sorry to the villain in this movie, but Pendensky, you made a better villain in The Holes. Like, I'm sorry. That's how bad this villain was. If you watched
Pendensky, you made a better villain in The Holes. That doesn't mean anything. You mean Pendensky, you were better in the movie Holes.
Pendensky, what does... S-T-U-P-I-D spell.
Stupid.
Stupid. You were a stupid villain. So.
Ouch.
Yeah. I just think it was, I mean, it is just uninteresting. Like, he wanted to take over the world with his mind and, like, ruin the president's already moral failing of what he went through in the past. Like, that, like. No one liked the president, obviously, and now he's trying to re-ruin it. I don't know. It was dumb. Like, I'm not a big fan. Like, what you're saying with the Iron Man, mm-hmm. where the villain was just like this regular terrorist that's taken over the country. Now you have this guy that's got, like, the brain, and he's, like, big, and he's...
It's very comic book.
And he was in a facility that... Just average Joes can just show up and be like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, there was, for someone who is this bad of a villain.
I have a fun fact about that might have fixed that.
Yeah, movie. Oh, yeah? Can you just share it?
Well.
Or do you want to wait till later when we do our fun facts part?
If I do it now, I can't do it later, right?
Yeah, that's
because, well, what's in between? Are you going to do like a...
Well, I have a lot more to say about this movie for my rating, why it's water. So let's just take the fact that the trailer gave us a Red Hulk. And we're like, oh, yeah, there's going to be a Red Hulk in this. No, there was a Red Hulk in this for the last 8 dang minutes of the film, basically. It's like, thank you for... You know, it's like when you go and you go to Taco Bell and you want to buy that nice burrito that's advertised on the screen and then you unwrap it and it's just this pile of mush. That's what it felt like going to see this movie. It's like, man, I'm going to see the Red Hulk throughout this. And then you wait an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes.
And you got a pile of mush.
And then you got Red Hulk for 8 minutes. And then you're thinking, okay, maybe, just maybe, the Incredible Hulk will come in and make it a cameo appearance and, like, beat him. But no, the thing that beats him and I'll talk about this later, is Captain America, he talks him down. But he talked him down before, it didn't work, and then he's about to get destroyed, and then he talks him down, and he's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I'll shrink down to my shriveled 90-year-old self and be, you know, the president and go lock myself away. It's just, it's just so stupid. And then, listen, I'm not trying to be sexist here, but you have this, like, just extreme of this, like, teeny tiny little girl that's, like, 5 foot nothing and 100.
She is 5 foot two.
Five foot two. Yeah, your size. That's, like.
But much thinner.
100 pounds. And she's body slamming these 250-pound guys and beating the crap out of them. Like, Hulk Hogan couldn't even do that.
Somebody but said she was distractingly small, and that's so spot on.
Oh, it is. It's just, I mean, at least Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, was kind of a little bit bigger, buffer. So, you know.
She's more believable.
More believable, but like this was just like freaking Ant Woman here. Right.
Well, especially in a film where everybody's 6 foot tall plus, she looks like a little child. And she's supposed to be one of the Black Widows, right, in that society. But she's the head of security for the United States.
Right. It just, like, none of this made any sense. And my last thing I want to say, and then I'll share a Blaine text message, is that why was the post-credit scene all the way at the very end? Like, I'm sorry, Marvel, but if you're going to leave a post-credit scene, make it worth my while, because it should have been at the, like, you know how they have, like, the credits and then they have the real credits?
Right.
It should have been at the end of the, like, the first credit part.
I agree.
Because that was just stupid. It's like, hey, you know, Captain America, like, there are other worlds. And guess what? We're going to make more movies.
I mean, that's the upside.
I mean, that's basically what he said. It's like, hey, we're going to make more movies.
And it was about long, too.
Yeah. So I waited 10, 15 minutes for that? Just. It was bad. So I mentioned all this to Blaine because him and I were actually going to go see it. And I said, listen, it's not even worth it, bro. And he was like, that's just bull crap. And I'm editing part of what he said just for audience. But he's like, that's just bull crap. Bad movie. No blue icy. What's next? A kick in a groin in the area before entry? What?
Boys. You know what I did like about this movie?
What?
Giancarlo Esposito.
Is that the villain? The black guy?
Yes.
Yeah, he plays Gus Fring in Breaking Bad.
Yeah. He's great.
So he's such a good villain.
I would have loved it if he was the main villain.
Yeah, he like his acting is really good.
I liked the banter between him and Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty solid. So yeah, that was another little subplot that could have been the whole movie, but no, we had to stuff in like all of these little loose ends from the other movies and try to create a big narrative out of all these little tiny ends they're trying to tie up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just horrible. I mean, I'm not a big comic book fan by any means, so I don't know all the gists and ins and outs of everything. So I'm just purely a Marvel movie regular watcher and take it for what it is.
I want to be entertained. I don't really care if we never found out what happened to the Hulk's cousin. Right. Like, it doesn't matter. Can you just tell me a story and entertain me for 90 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of your fun facts that you're going to bring up earlier that?
Okay. So this would have fixed the villain. Originally, the guy who was supposed to play the villain, the leader, the green guy, was Seth Rollins from WWE.
Really? Another WWE star? Why don't they just pick The Rock? Or John, what's his name? John
Cena.
Cena, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to pick one of those guys.
That's the entirety
of my fact. Thing is, though, with The Rock, like, he's usually the good guy, and he never dies. So you can't really,
yeah,
do,
no,
the,
he
you can't really do The Rock it, as a villain.
I feel like he's been in too many things. He has too much of a presence, if you will.
He has a character.
Yeah.
Like, he
gets typecast now.
Yeah, he's a typecast for sure. He would not go for that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. A good fun fact of the movie, and this is why it probably sucks so much, is that it was reshot like 5 times. And it's like at a certain point, you have to think, let's just not do the movie at this point. It was 5 reshoots, like the Gustavo Fring, the black guy, the I don't know what.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, that guy. Apparently, he wasn't even in the same like scene or like shot with Captain America when they were fighting. Like, they filmed his fighting action stuff on a different timeline than when Captain America was fighting with them. They weren't even in the same room.
High tech and sterile.
And it's just like, you can't get any emotions out of that.
No.
It's like what we talked about last week with CGI. Like, you can't get the same emotions you can when it's like right in front of you when you have like E.T. versus a Sonic. So no wonder these characters didn't really evolve on screen, because they weren't even working together.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, there were people that were saying that the president's daughter was, it felt like she was CGI'd in the movie.
Well, she was in there for, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah, but just the way it felt like she was just CGI'd, or she did her own thing, they filmed her, and then they just, like, threw that film in there. And, yeah, there was just no emotion. There was in this.
So the pair of actors in there that I would have assumed weren't filmed together, but I can't assume that because they're in scenes like literally next to each other, is Cap and his sidekick
Bucky. Which, another fun fact, is Bucky has been in all 4 Captain America films.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he was
Are we talking about the same guy? Because I'm talking about Sam and the guy that was fighting with him.
Oh no, not that guy.
Okay.
No, that his sidekick. No, he's new.
The sidekick was, not on my cast list.
He's not even good enough to make him in the cast list.
Was it maybe Joaquin? Was his name Joaquin? I don't know. Okay, so Sam and his sidekick, they had this bromance thing going on, but it was nothing but cliches back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And the sidekick felt so unimportant.
Yeah, I didn't like the sidekick. It was just like, what are we doing? I mean, it just everything just felt discombobulated in it.
Yeah,
I know we're trashing this movie, but you know what? It's supposed to be trashed.
Oh, okay. So I have another fun fact.
Hmm.
Harrison Ford had just gotten into a plane crash before he filmed this.
Uh huh.
And they had to put him in one of those motion capture dot suits to film the Red Hulk scenes. And can you imagine, like,
a 90-year-old, like,
yeah, he's geriatric. He was just in a plane crash, and he's having to get rigged up in a like tight fitting suit.
Know, I will say, he did look pissed off in this film, so he played
which was great for.
Yeah, he is probably the best character out of them all. Actually, it really should have been like, what was his name? What was?
Thaddeus Ross.
Thaddeus Ross in the Brave New World. That's what it should have been called.
Yeah.
Captain. Or see, my other fun fact, it's not, I don't know if it's really a fun fact or not, but a lot of people say that this is a sequel to the 2008 Incredible Hulk. Did you ever watch that one? It's on Disney. We should watch it sometime because Pendensky is in it.
Pendansky,
yeah. It's with Edward Norton. So you remember the early 2000s one? Yeah, that was slow and dramatic.
They
and
then, redid the Hulk like three times and it was so bad all three times.
No, it was only two.
Was it only two?
Yeah, so it was the first one that was like really slow and drawn out and just ugh. And then they made a 2008 one, which people ragged on, but I actually thought it was really good. But the guy that played Hulk, he's very hard to deal with in the acting business. He's the guy that plays in Fight Club. And okay. So the Incredible Hulk, that story is in, apparently it's in the canon of the new Hulk and the Avengers. Mark Ruffalo. I don't know the actor's name that plays the
I don't know. I'm just Hulk worried about now. Them being in a canyon now. Are they going to be able to climb out?
Well, they're the Hulk. They can, you know, jump really high.
Oh, phew. Yeah. Okay. Thank goodness.
Well, what I'm saying is the Incredible Hulk that was made in 2008 is the backstory of the Hulk now in the Avengers.
Oh, okay.
It's great. Just a different actor and whatnot. But I was just really bummed because people were like, oh, this is an Incredible Hulk sequel. Yeah, without the Incredible Hulk.
Weird.
It's like, yeah, it was just very weird. It's like, it was the post-Captain America, new Captain America, and then it was Incredible Hulk sequel all mixed in, and it's just...
Well, and also, it was trying to tie up some loose ends from, what was it called, The Elementals?
The Elementals?
Maybe I got that wrong. The one that the movie that's super duper Eternals. Long. The Eternals.
Yeah, it was kind of tying that in too. Yeah. So it was tying in all these different things, and it's just like it ain't working. Just make one of them and stick with that. Don't mention the others.
Right. Settle down, guys. Yeah, Settle down.
Yeah, they could have gone, or at least like do. I think it would have been way better if they didn't have the Incredible Hulk. But I just Or not the Incredible Hulk, the Red Hulk, because really there was no Red Hulk until the last 8 minutes.
Pretty silly.
So anyways, you want to get into the scenes and themes of the movie and actually get into real gospel or get into real.
Thought first you would like to ask them to rate and share the podcast.
You know, I thought about that and I'm like, should I do that everyone? It just kind of gets monotonous. You know, maybe once a month thing I thought about.
Okay, please do not rate and share the podcast.
Why are you saying it like an AI robot?
So that everyone knows I'm reading it off of a script.
You know, I was thinking instead of like saying it is just get a commercial and then just put a commercial in.
Get a commercial?
Yeah, you know, with some music.
Oh, like, just.
Do. Hey. This is Clark Movie Apology Clark. Could you rate the podcast? It really helps us out. Blah, 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 do, 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 you know what I'm saying? And then it gives people like a movie break. That's what other movie podcasts do that I listen to.
Happy little dance time.
Yeah, and then it gives your mind a little bit to, you know, think. And
I do like music breaks in podcasts, especially when they're really deep.
Yeah, because then you can just, you know, shut your brain off, so to speak.
It gives you time to process.
Yeah.
Like, that one pastor, John Mark Comer.
Yeah.
When you listen to his podcast, it always ends with a host saying like, hey, take some time, take some deep breaths.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, I do too. Anyways, but that's something I was thinking about, so I'll figure that out down the line. Okay. But let's get into the scenes and themes, because I'm really curious what your scenes are, because truthfully, I only picked one scene, because since this was a month ago, I was like trying to think, what were scenes that I really... thought were compelling.
That's not fair. I did so much research to come up with two. I was reading like these fake scripts and I was reading reviews and articles just to remember what happened and pull something out of them. So the first one I have is that scene where they meet the leader in prison. I guess it's prison. Is it prison? I don't know. He's in a compound. He's set up this really intricate lab. He's planning his revenge. And like the scene is really moody and like, oh, he's been plotting his revenge and he was imprisoned unjustly, but now he's controlling people's minds.
Mm.
And
mind control. I love mind control. We've never seen that in a Marvel movie, ever.
Frankly, Mr. The Leader, if you're so smart, why didn't you just escape?
Exactly.
Why don't you just use your mind control to get out of there, go live your happy, clappy, big-headed life, and forget about it? And maybe, like, I don't know, send prank calls to the president's phone.
That would have been a way better movie.
Way better.
See, that guy probably need to learn forgiveness. He should have read Brant Hansen's book, Unoffendable. And so that way, like, he could forgive the president for what he did. And
yeah.
The Incredible Hulk, and then he would have just lived his life and like really like been
maybe he would have gotten like a dog, like a labradoodle, and you know,
he could have been like the Beautiful Mind guy, except not crazy, and he could have actually like helped catch terrorists.
That
would have been way better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, We're just, I don't know.
Ooh, mine's a churning. Yeah, we got all the scripts figured out.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so what was your one scene?
So it's where Captain America talks to the Red Hulk at the end. It doesn't make for a good ending for an action movie. For him to be like, hey, yo, Incredible Hulk, or yo, Red Hulk dude. And then the Hulk's like, no, I'm pissed about the world. I'm going to smash, and he's fighting the dude. That talking stuff doesn't work, and then it works again. Or it eventually works right before he's about to get killed. And while it doesn't make for a good movie, while it doesn't make for a good theatrical movie, like obviously I would have rather seen the Incredible Hulk come in, smash the dude, and they somehow like catch him. It does kind of remind me that, you know, as Christians, we don't come in and try to change people by force. I'm just trying to spin this off. And we talk to the terrorist. We say, hey, bud. This is so bad.
Hey, buddy. Hey, could you not be so terroristy? Thank you.
Hey, I got the gospel for you. Jesus loves you. No, but...
Okay. Actually, like, one of the most moving short videos I've ever seen was when... Okay. Oh, gosh, I don't remember the exact timeline of when this happened, but ISIS was beheading people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were beheading Christians on a beach.
Oh, yeah. That was like in, what, 2008 or something?
Oh.
I remember that. They were in orange jumpsuits and orange and white, I think. I don't know. I can't remember. But
well, this video that somebody made, some group of Christians made, also took place on a beach. And it was talking directly at the terrorists saying, you know, we're the people of the cross, and we want you to know that we forgive you, and we're going to keep coming.
Yeah.
And you can experience the peace and love and joy in Christ as well.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Right. And you never know what happened to some of the... I mean, maybe some of those terrorists didn't come away with like, oh, I need to repent and follow Jesus. But maybe some of them did. And maybe it was the kindness that they've seen in those Christians that led them to the Lord.
Right. I mean, I think really either everything matters or nothing matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go with everything matters. And if a little video like that can just kind of get stuck in somebody's brain, mm-hmm. and it can start working things in there and just worm its way into the center of your brain where you have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of why I liked the scene a little bit, because it just reminded me that, you know, God didn't come to me at force. Like, he didn't come to us in force.
Yeah.
Like Jesus, he came to us in a manger, and then he walked among us, and then he talked. He didn't be like, all right, let's get our military. I mean, that's what the disciples thought. They thought, oh, Jesus is going to come by force. We're going to take over Rome and Jerusalem and all this. And like, this is how we get power. And Jesus is like, no, we are going to forgive these people. I'm going to die for their sins. I'm going to share with them the good news of, my grace. And I'm going to show them, like, this is what you do as a follower of Jesus. But he didn't come and be like, hey, you know what? If you don't do this, like, your head's going to get bashed in. You know, he came to with us at his words. That's why we have the Bible. We see his written words and all that. And so it just kind of reminded me, like, God changes us through his words. Like it says in scripture that his word does not go void.
Does not return void.
Does not return void. Thank you.
This was actually one of my themes, but I was thinking at it more from the angle of strength from weakness.
Hmm.
Because Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong.
Mm.
And I think it actually makes sense that that works. Because when we don't rely on what we think will win, we can find things that actually win.
Mm-hmm.
Like an example I've used a lot is my roommate, my first year of college, was this a really fun Irish girl named Jane. And we used to have these arguments almost every night about everything. Like, we enjoyed it. We enjoyed arguing. We were just both that type. And there was this one time that she definitely won the argument. Like, decisively. She was like a sniper with her words. Pew, pew, pew. Yeah. And I went to bed bummed that I lost and that she wasn't going to understand my point of view, which I really believed was right. And she came to me a few days later and she said, I've been thinking about it and I think you're actually right. But if I had won that argument,
She would have been more defensive.
She would have been defensive.
I'm kind of curious what the argument was.
I don't remember, but I think it was something to do with spirituality.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. So are we getting into the themes then?
I do have one more scene.
Okay, yeah. Since he did so much research for it.
Thank you. Please let me share so much research.
Yeah, I was telling Bethany that, hey, it's getting kind of late. Maybe we should record tomorrow. And you're like, no, I can't hold off any longer.
My heart can't take it anymore.
Like, you just need to get all this crap out into the world.
Let's finish this. So my other scene is one of the early scenes where the president is at a summit. I guess we're going with it was a summit where Isaiah and Sam came. And the president's explaining the plot, essentially. Which I think it's a really bold move to start a movie with a C-SPAN telecast, but
C-SPAN.
That's funny.
I don't get it. I don't.
Because C-SPAN is like where you can watch live sessions of Congress talking about laws.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
That's basically what it was, because he was talking about the rights to the celestial island and the rights to mine stuff.
You know, if it opens up like that, it's just going to be a garbage movie. Right. Like, good gosh.
Well, it could have been good. It could have been good, but they didn't make it good. But so much of our law is about who owns what. And we've been reading Deuteronomy in our chronological Bible study. And one of the laws says you should consider yourself a renter on the land that Adonai made. None of this land is going to stick with you forever.
At first, I thought you were like, Adonai made, like Adam, but Adonai.
Adonai.
And I was like, why would I consider it some guy, random guy's land?
Adonai means Lord.
Yeah, I know.
Because there are a lot of laws about the land in Deuteronomy as well, but it has to do with basically giving it up.
Yeah.
Every 7 years, let your land rest. Every 50 years, return your land that you've bought back to the family that it was bought from.
I mean, yeah. And truthfully, we're all kind of renting from it. Like, even if you own a property, well, you're going to die someday. Not to be a, Debbie Downer here, but you're going to die someday and then someone else is going to own it, whether that's your kids or grandkids or somebody else's kids.
Right.
And they're going to die. Like,
Even when, while you're alive, you don't, you can't do anything you want with what you own because somebody's going to own it another day.
Yeah.
And whatever you do affects the people around you. Like, yeah. Treat it like it's something precious that doesn't belong to you, but you're taken care of.
Yeah. I always, you know, both you and I have the mindset of whatever house we go to, we want to improve it. So that way, you know, when we leave it, it's improved for the next people. That's what we did with the trailer. That's kind of what we're doing here. I mean,
even if it doesn't get us more money when we sell it, at least it'll be more usable. It'll be beautiful.
Right. Yeah. It's just wherever you're going, make it better. Now, obviously, you don't want to like rent an apartment and then be like, make all these changes because honestly, that apartment that you're renting's not yours. You're not going to benefit, but at least don't destroy the place, right?
Right. Keep it clean. Don't put holes in the walls.
Right. Don't be one of those bad tenants and don't be one of those people that shows up at the movie theater late. That's all I'm saying. That's, I mean, just, you know, do your due diligence in being a nice, civil human being who shows up to movies on time. I'm just saying. It's not bugging me.
We got it.
Okay. All right. So let's get into the themes. You want to start us off with the theme?
So my other theme was on disconnectedness. Because this movie is basically trying to put all these puzzle pieces together to make a reasonable picture, you know, with all of its attempts to tie up other plot lines from other movies.
Yeah.
And it just makes me think about how our minds try to find order even when there is no order.
Mm.
Right? Like you can look at static on a TV and you can, if you stare at it long enough, which I have, you can start thinking you see patterns. You can start seeing patterns in the little black dots that are appearing. Our minds want to find order. And I've been trying to make sense of God lately with all these puzzle pieces that don't seem to fit together anymore. Like, I used to have this image of who God was. And now all these puzzle pieces, I don't know what they really say overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who God is. Like, I talk to him, right? I know some things about him.
You know, like, the main things, but, you know.
I don't know him as well as I thought I did. I was just trying to jam these puzzle pieces together to make a picture, but I realized I don't have all the pieces, and I don't know what the picture looks like, right? There's no box to look at to be like, oh, okay, that's the border. I've just got these pieces. And because I don't understand the final picture anymore, that's why I'm deciding to call God and Jesus Adonai instead.
Because it feels like an actual person versus because God can be taken general. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I believe God. You believe God. Well, what are you talking about? You believe in, you know.
I've been using, you know, I've been praying to God and praying to Jesus for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this solid image of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But Adonai, that guy I'm not so sure about, right? So I'm just putting a name to a feeling that I have. Okay. Like Adonai still means Lord, right?
Right.
It's a Hebrew word.
But it feels a little bit more authentic versus something you've been saying. It's kind of like people who called God or, you know, Adonai in the Old Testament, and they'd never used Father in the Old Testament because that was just really personal.
Right.
And then Jesus comes along and he says, our Heavenly Father. And they're like, whoa, that's a little bit too close.
Mm.
And it was just like kind of a shock to people. It's like, oh, you're calling Adonai Father. Like, that's wild. And so it's probably the same thing. Like, you've been saying the same thing, and then now you're saying something different to make it.
Oh, because because they were getting a new image of what God looked like. Yeah, I'm getting a new image, and I feel like I need a new name.
Mm. And there's nothing wrong with that because Adonai is in the Bible. So
yeah, take that.
Take that, yeah.
I'm very curious to hear your theme.
All right. So obviously a big theme in this is anger. We saw that the president is trying to rebuild his reputation because when he was, in the military, he was very angry and people knew him as like really angry and pissed off and all that. And then suddenly he becomes president and he's dealing with this anger, and then he gets angry and becomes the Red Hulk and all this garbage goo. But I wanted to talk about anger a little bit because I think anger, especially in the Christian context, can be a little bit, taken out of context. Because I think when we look at between God's anger and man's anger, God's anger is more like the Green Hulk in the later Avengers, where, just go with me on this, okay? I thought about it, right? So the Green Hulk in the Avengers, say like Endgame and whatnot, when he actually is able to control himself when he's the Hulk, because like past Hulk would have been like when he's green, like he's just sporadic and like is just breaking everything. And then you get to like Infinity War Endgame and he can actually control his anger, but he's using like his you know, what he becomes, the Hulk, for justice and good. So he's not just randomly breaking crap. Like it's a controlled anger, so to speak. Are you following me me on this?
Okay.
And so with the Red Hulk and then the previous Green Hulk, like say in the Incredible Hulk, that's more of human anger. Our anger is sporadic. It's uncontrolled. It doesn't really go anywhere. Hmm. What?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
Why?
I think, is God's anger controlled? Because there's a couple times in the Old Testament where he wanted to wipe the Israelites off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses was like, hey, please don't do that.
Right.
And God was like, okay, I won't do that.
But it was controlled because he could have just done it, right?
Yeah, but also I don't feel like human anger is always out of control either.
I say it mostly. Most of the time when you have anger, when people have anger, it's really pissed off and agitated and people say things that they shouldn't say.
I think maybe what you're trying to get at is the essence of the person who has the anger. Because anger in itself is not a bad thing.
No.
But it's a good thing when a good man is angry.
Yeah.
Because what does that mean?
It means they actually love the person that's being violated.
Right. They're about to make something wrong. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when a bad man is angry, what's going to happen?
They're going to destroy stuff.
Yeah.
Like the Red Hulk.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I do get where you're coming from now. That's more about the
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a lot of nuance to it.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to talk a little bit because like, anger is good, like you said, and anger, there does need to be anger. It'd be weird if I wasn't angry about rape or incest or, you know, all these different things that go on. Like that would be, I mean, obviously I can't like be angry and, you know, be like this, you know, pissed off and like keyboard warrior that online about it, right? Like that's not how it should be. But
we should get mad when the grocery store gets rearranged.
Or we should get mad when people don't go into the movie theater on time. That's righteous anger, dang it. But I think the reason why I say this is a lot of Christians think that anger is essentially good. It's essentially good to have anger. And to a degree, it would be bad if you didn't have any anger if you saw injustices happen. But yeah. I think like a lot of the times people are like, yeah, it's fine to be angry. Like, You know, you should be pissed off at the politician. You should be pissed off at your neighbor that does this stupid thing. Like all these little stupid things. Like I kind of joke about like the, you know, the theater thing. It's not like it makes me like that angry. It's just kind of fun to for content. But, you know, it's not it wouldn't be good for me to be like pissed off, angry about people showing up to a movie theater late.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Like for every little thing not to go your way and to be angry about it. That's where it gets bad. But a lot of people when they're, especially a lot of Christians, when they're talking about anger, the two main verses that they'll talk about is the Jesus flipping over tables in the temple. And then Paul saying, you know,
be angry and do not sin.
Be angry and do not sin. And one of the things that I wanted to say was with Jesus flipping over tables that you have to look at the context and the actual historical setting that this was placed in when Jesus was doing that. Because for one, again, Jesus is God and he has been around for 30 years at this point before he flipped over tables. And you have to think that when he was a kid, when he was an adult, he kept going to that temple year after year and seeing all this injustice happen with these money changers going into this temple. And they would be basically, it would be like he had all these nations, they want to come to this temple to worship God. And these money changers would be like, well, you need to buy so and so animal to be able to slaughter so that you can worship God. But we're going to charge you an exponential amount for it. And there would be poor people that couldn't afford it, right? And so it's kind of like the indulgences in the Catholic Church during Martin Luther, where they'd be like, hey, you want salvation? You got to pay your ticket to heaven. It was kind of the same, in some ways, the same principle. And so Jesus steps into the scene and he sees this where these people are literally making a roadblock for other people to come worship God. And he's like, I've had enough. And even in this scene where you see Jesus it says he's making a whip of cords. So he's sitting down and he's making a whip of cords. This is a controlled anger he has. It's not just he comes in, he's just like flailing. Like he's seen this for 30 something years at this point, and his anger is right and it's just and it's controlled. And at a certain point he says, enough is enough. I need to drive these out because I want these people to come worship me.
He picked a time.
He picked a very specific time. And then you get into Paul's letter in, I think it's Ephesians, where he says, be angry and do not sin. What most people neglect is the next line says, and don't let the sun go down on your anger. So we need to get rid of our anger. Our anger is not good. And we have to remember the one key attribute about God is that he is slow to anger. It says in Exodus 34 that he says he is a slow to anger. Like he's not quick to anger. He's slow to it. Think about the Canaanites that God ordered Joshua to command to go in and take captive of the people. Well, in that time period, those people that God ordered to, you know, kill, and it's in Joshua where a lot of people struggle with, they were doing really horrible, wicked things. But God waited like hundreds of years before he made this command. And finally he said, you know, it's enough is enough. Like, I will not take it anymore to see these babies put on this like altar and sacrifice to the gods of Baals or whatever. And even with Noah, that boat took hundreds of years to make. And all that time, I bet you God would have been, you know, the people that were wicked and said, oh yeah, you know, it's not going to rain, Noah, nothing's going to happen. Like, they could have had a chance to repent and come on the boat, but they decided not to. They decided to go about their wicked ways. And so you see all these different scenes where God is slow to anger, but at a certain point, he's going to enact his justice and say, enough is enough. Like, you are killing babies. You are raping women. I've had it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. No, my mercy is not going to cover you anymore.
Right.
Like, I'm angry about this.
Oh, what's that verse? God is not what you think. Like, he is slow to anger. He's waiting for you to change.
I don't know what verse you're talking about.
God is not slow to act. God is not slow to act. I can't remember the end of the verse.
No, I don't know.
I'm letting you down. Well, look it up, because I think that applies.
Yeah, yeah. And again, there's some things that are really hard. Like, I was reading in Leviticus, these two dudes making fire, and they made the wrong fire, and they got burned up. And it's like, you know, I kind of like struggle with that. It's like, but they just made the wrong fire, God. Like, they weren't killing babies. Like, I still wrestle with some of these stories, or like the guys that hold the Ark of the Covenant,
right?
And you know, or they didn't hold the, they put it on a cart, and God told them to hold it rather than put it on a cart. And as it was falling, the one dude tries to catch it, and as he, you know, laid his hand on it, he died. And right. It's like, but again, that's more of God's holiness and being in his presence, that, you know, we can't really, because we are sinful by nature, we can't really be with a holy God. And that's kind of why Jesus had to come. He had to build that bridge. And that's why when we get to heaven someday, we will be able to stand before the Lord, because we are in Christ. Like, we are surrounded by Christ's righteousness and whatnot. So I don't know if I did that justice or anything, but what?
Well, okay.
Yeah. Do you have another theme?
No, because I used my other theme.
Oh, that's right. Well, anyways, I think we're going to wrap it up there for today. Next week, we're going to do a movie recommended by our worship leader, Mark, and it's going to be Vertigo, which is, gotta say, a way better movie than this piece of crap. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's really well done.
It's really well done. But thank you guys for listening.
And like my friend Wiley Burp always says, let the sleeping dog lie, son. Doggone it, I'm dog tired. I'm tired of leading the dog's life and fighting like cats and dogs against cats and dogs. A young pup's dog in my trail trying to become top dog. I'm going to the dogs and the dog-eat-dog world, son. I'm so far over the hill, I'm at the bottom of the other side.
Wow. And like my friend Blaine always says, after we get done with the movies, don't party too hard without me. What? Catch you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Whether it's at home or at the movie theater, Movie Night Apologetics exists
to show you the goodness of God in movies we watch.
I'm movie apologist Clark.
And I'm Bethany.
And this is Movie Night Apologetics.